covers the Oregon beat for 24/7 Sports online. It is oregon.247sports.com. On Twitter, use the handle at Matt Preem. Matt, how you doing? I should say, how are you and Jamie and the boys and the doggy doing?
Things are going good at the Preem household. School has started, so we are doing multiple juggling of hats and roles. Today was just a work day for me. Tomorrow, teacher and work day. I am not the strictest teacher out there. I don't know how strict your teachers were, but I pretty much let anything fly these days.
Yeah, you were the one. Hey, I hear Preem grades on a curve, and he's not that strict about attendance. All right, let's get to some double-barreled duck news from the weekend. Brady Breeze, a year ago, even towards the end, I mean, he was always listed as more of a co-starter, but by the end, of course, he was playing great, the Rose Bowl defensive MVP. So with the announcement, the season was returning, and of course, you have a personal relationship with him because he's just such a warm-hearted, terrific guy, you know, after Ryan's accident. But football-wise, what did you make of his announcement that he's opting out?
I'd heard whispers of it. Obviously, I never felt strong enough to report it ahead of the announcement, but there was some talk that it was in the, you know, at least on the table, that he wasn't going to come back. I didn't know one way or the other until he actually did it for sure. I see his thinking in this, and I'm not going to criticize or say it was the wrong or the right decision, because it's really only one person in the world that could make that decision, and that's him. He thinks he has an opportunity in the NFL. He's going to try and live out a dream, and who are we going to say to not chase your dreams in life? And that's what he's going to go do. Every decision has its consequences, no doubt about it. I'd heard it was out there, so I wasn't too blown away. But at the same time, it's still kind of shocking. I mean, this is a guy that's only started 4 games in his career at Oregon. Was a special teams guy in 2018. Didn't really see the field a ton from a safety position in 2018. Now 2019, he took a big step in his production on the football field, and the last 4 games of the season, the Rose Bowl, Pac-12 championship game, the Civil War, and the ASU game, and you throw in the USC game before that, those 5, you might not find a player in the country who had a more productive 5-game stretch than Brady Breeze did. He scored a touchdown against the Trojans, scored a touchdown against Wisconsin, had multiple forced turnovers in those 5 games, was the Rose Bowl defensive MVP, played like in a 5-game stretch, like an All-American. And had he, you know, played like that through the course of a 13 or 14 game schedule as a junior, it wouldn't have been all that shocking if he went pro, because I'm sure he would have had some NFL, you know, attention on him. He thinks he does. And I think, you know, there must be some kind of traction within the NFL sphere of him thinking that there's a legit possibility of it happening, because I don't think he would have made this decision if he didn't have some kind of idea and expectation that, hey, maybe it's not first round, maybe it's not second or third round, but maybe it's 5th and he's okay with that. Maybe it's 6th and he's okay with that. Part of me also says maybe he plays in 2020 and maybe he doesn't have the year that he expects or that many people think he should have, and his stock could plummet and he could go from being a guy that maybe who doesn't play in 2020 and gets drafted to maybe a guy where he plays college football in 2020 and doesn't perform well and doesn't even get a camp invite. I mean, that feels like kind of what his sliding scale could be like. And so his stock is never going to be as high as it is right now. And kind of, you know, I kind of see where he's thinking.
Wow. That's a pretty big swing there. And then of course, when the announcement came down that Pac-12 football is coming back. I got asked a bunch. I'm sure you did. So the guys who opted out, could they opt back in? And now we get the Amador Lenore, who was the starter at the corner from game one versus Auburn last year. So on the other end, what do you make of his decision to reverse course and return to play for the Ducks this year?
Oh, it's huge for Oregon, because I felt like the safety position with Nick Pickett and Verone McKinley III both being back, both those guys have double-digit starts under their belts. Pickett himself, I believe, has like 30 starts under his name. So Oregon at the safety position, they still have two guys that are coming back in 2020 that have double-digit starts, that have been there, that have played at a big stage. And I felt like at cornerback, when Thomas Graham and Lenore both announced, you felt like, okay, Oregon has talent. We know who Mykael Wright is, but he never started a game last year. But we still think he's going to be special. We still think he's going to be a really good player. But now all of a sudden, your third best corner is your best corner, and your fifth best corner on the team is now your third best corner. That's a big hit to the depth to this unit. And I'm a firm believer in talent over experience, but experience is still pretty darn important. Dane Altman, not to change subjects, but Dane Altman last week said he'll take talent, and then the second most important thing for him is experience. And when you combine both, you have a really special team. You're getting a guy in Lenore where you've got the talent, you've got the experience, and you're adding him to a position group where there wasn't a ton of experience returning in 2020 after the opt-outs.
No, I thought that was enormous. Talking with Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Let's get to the big fellas up front on offense, with Sewell opting out, Shane Lemieux on the Giants, Throckmorton's on the Saints practice squad, so's Jake Hansen with the Packers. While they return some talent, they've recruited well there. It's logical to think during such a compact season without spring ball, We're going to need some patience as this group kind of gels and finds itself.
Yeah, I almost argue the loss of Penei Sewell is going to be harder to overcome than the loss of Justin Herbert at quarterback, just because you went into 2020 originally thinking, yes, Oregon has four offensive line guys they have to replace. Four starters having to be replaced is going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. But you have Penei Sewell, who's the best offensive lineman in the country. Now you remove Penei Sewell from that discussion, and now you have to replace everybody. You have very little experience, and it doesn't matter who you have back at quarterback. You could have Michael Vick. You could have Patrick Mahomes. You know, guys that are elusive as can be. If they don't have a semblance of a respectable offensive line, and they don't have any kind of time to do anything with the football back there, that talent becomes null, because that guy is going to be on his back all the time getting hit and sacked. So Oregon's offensive line, I think there's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some transitions that are going to be seen for sure. Certainly on the flip side, if you want to look at a half glass full type of way, the guys that Oregon's replacing, you know, the other four positions that are having to be replaced. So that would be left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. All of those projected starters are higher-rated recruits than their predecessors were when they came into the program. So in theory, Oregon is adding better talent into the mix. They just don't have that experience. And it's going to be very important. I think Oregon really got lucky with the first four games of their schedule in 2020 with the release. None of those four teams had a winning record in 2019. One of them went to a bowl game. That was Washington State, who finished the year 6-7. And the Cougars have an entirely new coaching staff. They have major pieces to be rebuilt on both sides of the football. If you're going to have to play the weaker teams, Oregon got incredibly lucky to play all four of them in a row to start the season, to kind of work through these kinks.
You know, you tweeted something over the weekend. I thought that was interesting, and that a lot of us experienced, because of TV, because of where they play, because of what we do, we've all like seen every snap of Justin Herbert from his freshman debut against the Huskies through the Rose Bowl, now the NFL. You know, he's already gone toe-to-toe with Mahomes and Brady. Only Cam Newton has more yards through his first three pro starts. So what's your read on Justin so far as the Charger quarterback?
Yeah. I don't know how Anthony Lynn can look himself in the mirror and say that he's not the starting quarterback moving forward. I mean, he has kept this team in competitive games against some of the best teams in the NFL. I mean, they should have beaten the Chiefs, in my eyes. They should have beaten Tom Brady last weekend. I mean, they were up 24-7 with a minute to go in the second quarter with the football. And they had a turnover, which, you know, led to a touchdown to pull the Bucks within 10. And they should at least be 2-2 right now, at minimum in my eyes. And the most impressive thing I saw with Herbert last week was he did it against a Tampa team who has a pretty good front line. Their defensive line is loaded with some guys that are Pro Bowl players, and he did it without Austin Eckler, who early in the first quarter got hurt with a hamstring injury, and you know it sounds like he's going to be out for a long time. Herbert led the team in rushing yards yesterday. I don't know how many people realize that, but he had no run game.
Nope.
And he still was 20 of 25 for 290 yards. He went into the fourth quarter with a perfect quarterback rating. And I look at this as, this is a guy who just made his third start. He's had just 2 weeks of full practice reps, getting all the reps at quarterback. He continues to get better every single game. You're competitive in every single game. And you could argue you should be 2-2 instead of 1-3. Why change now? I realize if they've come out and said that he's the franchise quarterback of the future, but sometimes those plans change, and now the plans have changed. It's an unfortunate deal for Tyrod Taylor, but I don't know how you go back and take the ball away from Justin Herbert, because he's, you know, you're talking about sitting him and getting him better. Well, right now we're seeing him get more reps, more practice reps, and he continues to get better and better with that. You're stunting his growth in my eyes if you don't play him.
No, I'm with you. I was really confused at how at this point he couldn't say, look, you know, things have changed, circumstances changed, and for now Herbert's our guy. But a couple final thoughts from Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. I know you're a big hoops guy, and we're down to the nitty-gritty in the NBA Finals. Jimmy Butler last night kept Miami alive. But overall, what have you made of the NBA and the bubble? You know, they had that 8-game stretch run, the playoffs, now about to crown a champ. Have you enjoyed what you've been seeing?
I do. I actually enjoyed it a lot more when it was the regular season, as crazy as that sounds.
Because you're a Suns fan.
Just because, well, yeah, too, that helps, watching the Suns go 8-0. But at the same time, it was so cool seeing games start at like a 10 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I got so addicted to that, of just being able to turn the TV on and there being games on every single day, all day long. I thought that was awesome. I think the playoff basketball has been pretty good. I marvel at LeBron. We can debate left and right who's, you know, the best player in the NBA. Is it LeBron? Is it Michael? Is it Kobe? You know, is it somebody else? I still marvel though at what he has done to make the NBA Finals in three different teams, two different conferences, and I look at him and he's probably going to win another title and do it, you know, in a way in which we haven't really seen before. Yet at the same time, the Heat, like yesterday's game was impressive without two of their best players on the team. And, you know, I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the most underrated coaches in that league's history. And we should be in for a good finals. I hope Miami gets game four so we get a couple more games of these guaranteed.
And lastly, you were a part of that Zoom meeting with Dana Altman last week. And we know they lose Pritchard. Okoro transferred to St. Louis. But a lot of returning talent, some big-time recruits in Jalen Terry. They got Eric Williams, the transfer from Duquesne. We know football starts first, but then only 2.5 weeks later, hoops gets rolling early.
Yeah,
so what are you thinking about how legit this group might look to contend for in the Pac-12?
Well, I go back to the last 4 or 5 seasons. The title runs through Eugene. and it doesn't really matter who's gone or who's back for Oregon. The last 4 or 5 years, they've won either a share of the regular season title or the Pac-12 tournament championship outside of one season, and that was after the Final Four year when their entire roster was gutted. I look at this team and think Pritchard's gone, yeah, and he was an All-American, a four-year starter. The pulse of the program the last few seasons, so was Shakur Justin, Anthony Mathis' three-point shooting. You mentioned the transfers, but I don't really care. You know, Oregon has two starters back, and Chris Duarte, Will Richardson. They've got some key transfers that were on the bench last year as redshirts eligible, like you mentioned. They've added some recruits, and they most importantly still have a coaching staff that 4 out of the last 5 years has won some kind of Pac-12 championship. And that's the expectation, I think, for this team is who cares who's gone? I don't care how many new faces there are on this roster. They've still got a group loaded of 5 and 4-star recruits. They still have experience. And this is a team that's older than most college basketball teams because of so many transfers on the team and a couple of juniors and a couple of seniors that are on it from previous years, that they should contend again for a league title.
No, you just history says when the dust settles, they'll be around. Folks, he's Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. On Twitter, the handle is at Matt Prehm. Online, oregon.247sports.com. Matt, always fun. Always appreciate your time, my friend. Be well, be safe, be sane, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.